Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Because he's a troubled soul himself, there are many times when my partner, Rich Keith, kind of feels a kinship with bad boys out there. You know?
I am a bad boy. I'm the bad boy of radio, you know, Dale, what they've always called
me. There always seems to be this, like, you not only like them, like, you yearn for them.
I love them.
And the most recent addition of bad boys, at least in basketball, is Draymond Green. Draymond Green was suspended for a game by the Golden State Warriors because he got into a tiff on the sidelines with Kevin Durant. Now, we've seen players get into tiffs on the sidelines in virtually every sport. I mean, happens all the time. Now, you hear Draymond Green's name attached to it, and you automatically kind of assume, all right, he took it too far. Maybe it continued after they went back to the locker room. Whatever
right.
it was.
Oh, sure.
They suspended him for a game. Now, the genesis of the beef between them, I think, had to do with the end of the game prior, where Draymond Green just completely gave up a pass to an open man for a shot at the end of the game and kind of fogged one up. And I'm sure at some point Kevin Durant said something like, hey, look for the open guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we think happened?
Yeah, and then they got into an argument and you saw it on the court and it was pretty serious. And then it carried over into the locker room and those guys were really getting after each other. I think the best part of this whole thing, though, Dale, is how was Golden State not going to win the title this year? Because they are the clear-cut favorite. And even if you wanted to say the Celtics were the second-best team, even though they're not playing like it right now, but going into the year, if they were the second-best team, how is it possible that a team as talented as Golden State could not win it? And this is one of the ways. Steph Curry's already hurt, first of all, so that's a way that they can lose, is if they have injuries, and Steph Curry has had a bunch of them, especially earlier in his career. But also, could there be infighting? Could Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, and there was some talk last year and the year before that maybe it is a little cliquish on that team, like there's a couple of guys that are friends and they don't really like the other couple of guys or whatever it might be. But Draymond Green, we know, is a hothead. He's not going to back down from these guys. And so him and Kevin Durant, if they don't get along, that is beautiful. That's perfect. That's how you open the door to somebody else winning. Now, I don't know. I don't think they trade Draymond Green away, but how bad does this get? Like, if these guys aren't happy. Now, do we have the Kevin Durant audio, Rossi, from when he was asked by the media? First of all, Durant's doing the post-game press conference. He's got a Washington Redskins hat on.
Nice.
I mean, I know he's from D.C., but still, we know how that can go over at times. So he's rocking a Redskins hat. He is upset, and he was asked about if they've made up with Draymond.
Hey, Kevin, have you and Draymond been able to hash anything out?
No.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I'm sure it will. We got a long season ahead.
Did he cross the line with anything last night that was said?
I'm gonna keep that in house. That's what we do here. I mean, obviously, I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not trying to get nobody no headlines. What happened happened. We're trying to move on. Just trying to play basketball.
Sounds like a yes to me.
It's a huge yes. It's a
gigantic
capital yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a yes. It's also they're not on the same page at all. And we also know that Kevin Durant is as sensitive a player as anybody. Like, he's kind of a loser if you really think about
wow.
it. Great player.
Went right to loser.
Don't you think? With all the fake Twitter stuff and he's like defending himself and he's ripping on Billy Donovan under a fake Twitter account? Like, don't you have better things? You're Kevin Durant. You're one of the best basketball players in the world. You're paid like it, you perform like it, all of this stuff, and you have to have these dummy Twitter accounts so you can defend yourself?
No.
Yeah, you do. So he's very, very sensitive. And if Draymond Green, all Draymond Green has to say is something like, hey, if you didn't join our team, you never would have won. Say something like that, Durant's going to melt down. He's probably going to go on Twitter under a fake name, attack Draymond Green, but Kevin Durant was right. Kevin Durant was right. So this is beautiful to see.
I understand that you want the Golden State Warriors to implode. And,
oh, it's
and
awesome.
That's great.
It's awesome.
But just from a strictly, and you usually say, you know, I want the best players, period.
Yeah.
Well, there's not much doubt about who's the best player between those two, right?
No.
If you're the Golden State Warriors, you want to keep Kevin Durant happy more than you want to keep Draymond Green happy.
I mean, you want both of them on the team, though. Like, that's the thing. And, yeah, Durant's the better player, but Durant has an
opt-out.
Well,
Green's the one who got suspended, not Kevin Durant, so...
No, I know, but they've been putting up with Green for a lot longer, and Green has won three championships with them. I mean, Green is very important to what they do. I think you can always have, especially in basketball, you can have a crazy guy on your team. You can't probably have two, and you definitely can't have three. But if you have one crazy guy, that's probably pretty good. they get a lot softer if you take Draymond Green off of the Warriors. Like you saw in the finals that they lost when he got suspended and he wasn't there. Like, what a significant difference that he is. They need sort of a dirty player on their team, and he's great. But they have to be fearing, does Durant not want to put up with this? And he didn't sign a long-term deal. He's got an option after this year. So would Kevin Durant become a free agent and go join up with somebody else because he doesn't want to deal with Draymond Green?
And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I get Draymond Green the hell out of there before that ever happens.
And then if that's the case, that hurts them. It really does. I mean, if you have Curry, Thompson, and Durant, you're probably still the favorite. But if you take away Draymond Green, and first of all, one of the best defensive players in the league, he's also a guy, he's going to do the dirty stuff. He's willing to...
Literally do the dirty
stuff. Yeah, no, I mean, oftentimes he might kick a guy in the junk. Like, that's just the way that
that's
he is.
A go-to move.
But, I mean, leading the team in rebounds, he's good for a bunch of assists. He'll score if needed, but he's clearly, you know, content being the fourth scoring option on that team. That's what makes them really good.
ESPN earlier today, I wasn't listening to it, but I saw it on the monitor. They did a statistical breakdown of the Warriors with Draymond Green and without. And it's sort of like the Gronk thing. You know,
similar?
Where, yeah. No, they're fine without him. In fact, their rebounds per game go up without him.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't think is possible since he leads the team in rebounding.
Right.
You know, their offense is better, their win percentage. Now, their win percentage, even with him, is like 738 or something.
I mean,
without him, it's like 810.
Yeah, but I still think they need him, I think. I mean, he leads the team in rebounds, leads the team in assists, leads the team in steals. And when you're talking about getting into some of these playoff series, I mean, regular season, they're going to win a ton of games regardless. They're winning games without Curry. And like, obviously, you know, Curry's incredible, and he's one of the five best players in the league. So they can overcome the loss of any one player, I think, for a while. But what makes them that dominant force in the playoffs is having that full complement. Like, they're when they put out their five best players, and let's see what happens when DeMarcus Cousins shows up. Like, let's see what happens, who I love, by the way, but let's see how he fits in with this group or if Draymond gets along with him. But when they put out their five, it's the best five, I think, in the history of the NBA. Like, I don't even think that's an overstatement. Like, there's been other great teams, but when you look at guys in their primes, just having two MVPs in their primes on one team separates you from everybody else. I know a lot of people want to say, well, the 86 Celtics have, you know, four Hall of Famers. That's fine. But Curry and Durant are both MVPs. Klay Thompson can score 60, 70 points in a game. Draymond Green, maybe the defensive player of the year. And let's see what happens with Cousins. But if they start to not get along, that's what you need.
Oh, no. From our perspective, it's great.
Right.
I'm trying to look at it from their
perspective.
But
no, their perspective is...
They've got to get rid of the guy. If it got to that point... If Durant and Green couldn't work it out, if they couldn't, because Durant's too soft and he's too sensitive, whatever the reasons are, if you're the Warriors, I want to keep that guy happy more than I want to keep Draymond Green happy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Durant's the guy, but the number one thing they need to do is get them to make up, because let's play this out. Let's say they trade away Draymond Green this year because they got to get rid of him, so they trade him away for draft picks, and that way they have better team chemistry. But then at the end of the year, Kevin Durant leaves. What if he goes in free agency and he just says, "Yeah, I know Green's gone, but you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, I'm going to go back home to DC. I'm going to go to the Knicks. I'm going to be the guy in New York or whatever. He's going to leave them. Now you might have two of your best guys gone after a year. Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent not that long. So what seems like it could be set up for years to come could start to, you know, maybe the beginning of the end with the fighting between these two.
Keith, that's not going to happen with the confidence of their GM when he said,
"Oh,
this.
Yeah, let's hear him."
If caring too much is something that he struggles with, well, that's who he is. So we'll move. We made a decision. We felt like this action merited the decision we made, but I have every confidence that he can move forward with it. Our team can move forward with it, our organization, our players. Because again, I mean, this is part of the NBA. What probably will be the hardest thing for him is he can't play basketball tonight because he's a basketball player. And that's what is probably most difficult. If they haven't talked, I'm sure that they will talk. I know both of them. I know what they want to accomplish this season.
I've met both guys.
Been around both of them. Hmm. So I'm sure that they'll get to that place because it's really about winning. And they both love to win. They both love to play basketball.
He loves it too much, Dale. He tries
That's
too
embarrassing.
Hard. It really is. That's like it's like the Michael Scott, like, I care too much. He's like, well, see, my negatives are positive. He's like, oh.
Th- Does that sound like the type of guy you're like, you go in the office and he's like, okay, like he's going to get us together as the GM. He runs a team.
No, this is going to come down to Steve Kerr. It's going to be up to him to get these guys on the same page.
If caring too much is something that he struggles with, well, that's who he is. So,
well, you guys suspended him for a game for caring too much, apparently. But yeah, Durant has an opt-out after this year. Klay Thompson's a free agent after this year. And Draymond Green's a free agent after next year. They locked up Curry for the long term. He's making a zillion. He got the Supermax and all that. But we'll see. I mean, this is now the Celtics need to figure it out on their end. They can't be playing like this. It's not going to matter if the Warriors implode. The Celtics won't even make it out of the East playing the way they are. But now it seems like what once was a foregone conclusion that Golden State's going to win their third straight championship. Well, maybe not so fast.
But I have every confidence that he can move forward with it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what
would they just wheel him out of there before it got to that point?
No, but my point is, if you do wheel him out of there, you're not as good.
They're still probably the best.
Yeah, they are, but they're not as good. So, I mean, if I thought the Celtics, with their roster, and again, it's hard to say it after the road trip they just went on, but their roster versus the Warriors roster, I thought the Celtics lose that series, but it's close. But if you tell me they trade away Draymond Green for draft picks, then, yeah, they're right there with him. So that'd be great. I doubt it happens. It's too early in the season. I think, you know, they can figure this out. And even if it's kind of ugly for a week or two, there's still so much time for them to, you know, make up. And that's probably what will end up happening. But it's still pretty exciting just to see these guys.
You think they'll just kiss and make up eventually? Because it'll last temporarily.
Yeah.
It won't last permanently.
But can it last for one more year? That's the thing. And then maybe Durant leaves. Yeah, no, I mean,
if they're at the point where they're suspending a guy now,
right,
already.
Right.
Now, you would think that Kevin, at that point, Draymond Green would say, okay, I get the message. I can't do this. He's not getting any messages.
No, he's not.
No.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I'm sure it will. Yeah, a long season ahead.
Sure it will. Now, I mean, Draymond Green, as much of a head case that he is, he's been there. This is his seventh year. You know, so he's been able to make it work with other guys. Now, it's not his seventh year with Durant. It's only, what, his third year with Durant. But that would be pretty fast. I mean, if they dealt him away, I mean, I think that would be dumb. If they did that anytime soon, I think that would be dumb. But
I'm not trying to get nobody no headlines.
I wouldn't be surprised if teams are calling right now.
They might be.
What's going on there?
Hey, I can help take the problem off your hands if you want.
Exactly.
And you'd be happy to take that problem off their hands here.
Well, I think they got to figure out what they're doing with the guys that they have. I don't think that would make any sense. But they have enough issues. I know Kyrie wants a 15-year vet.
Not
Draymond Green. That's
a little shy in the 15-year vet department.
No, not going to work.
Because they would know more than a 9-year vet would know, right?
Maybe get Carmelo Anthony. I mean, that's who they need.
That's who he's talking about.
You know that's exactly what he's talking about.
I hope it's not, but yeah, it might be.
Keith, this has been your worry, that all these guys are friends and they all want to play together.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo's going to be out there. Ugh, he would look ugly.
Why is Carmelo not on the Lakers? That's what I thought that was the obvious one. Go play with LeBron, finally.
That's probably going to happen.
Yeah, it might.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us if you prefer, 37937. We will talk to Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's coming up just after 1 o'clock, as he usually does on Wednesdays. Keith, as you said, he wrote an interesting piece where...
Very in-depth.
Yeah, he did a deep dive into the whole Tom Brady performance on Sunday, didn't he?
Pretty good. I mean, this is... I think it's smart to do, because I mean, everybody... The takeaway was how bad Brady was. That was one of. I mean, the whole team was bad, but that was one of the takeaways was Brady's performance. So what does Tom do? He goes back, looks through the tape, and goes through every single one of the throws and try to determine just how bad, or if he was as bad as everybody said. So
because there were some throws that just looked like Jacoby Ellsbury getting it in from center.
That is true. But there was also some really good defense in the game, and you know, some of the, you know, a couple of drops in there. So there's a lot that goes into a, 21 for 41 performance, 254 yards, no touchdowns. So, you know, a lot targeting three guys, really locked in on three guys all game long. But the Titans did a really good job of making it uncomfortable for him, too.
I always have a tendency, and we said this yesterday, whenever there's a pass that seems amiss, our default position here is, well, Brady knew exactly where it was supposed to go and put it exactly where it was supposed to go. The receiver wasn't where he was supposed to be. I'm not sure that's always the case anymore.
Yeah, is that every time? Especially with the...
And by the way, it was probably never the case. We just always thought, well, Brady put it in the right spot. The receiver wasn't where
No, there were times, because you could see on the sidelines, there were times where he would get more mad, like whether it was like a Tyquan Underwood or a Joey Galloway or like some of those guys. You could see him on the sideline being pretty upset, and that's upset at them. Then there are other times where you can kind of tell it's more he's upset at himself for some of the throws. And when he first gets here, Josh Gordon, you would assume every time that Brady knows exactly what the play is and maybe Gordon doesn't. Whether that's always true or not, we don't really know. But when guys like Edelman, although he wasn't really much of a concern, he actually played pretty well on Sunday. But some of the passes to James White that were incomplete, you're thinking, well, James White's got a pretty good grasp of the offense too. You know, Brady's even said as much. And so when they're struggling to connect, or when he's missing wide open guys, like, what is that? You know, if he's not even looking at Chris Hogan, Chris Hogan either ran the right route, and if he didn't, he was wide open doing whatever he decided to do, and maybe you need to look his way a little bit more.
And just as a for instance, we'll get into more in depth with Tom when he joins us later on. The play to Josh Gordon that went for 44 yards, okay? As he said, had Brady laid it out in front of Gordon a little more, he could have had a bigger game. Mm-hmm. He said it was a good throw, but not a really good throw, and a really good throw might have meant six. He says, good protection, good catch, okay throw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when they're succeeding, and a 44-yard completion to Gordon is succeeding, you're looking at it and you're saying, well, okay, but if he had done this...
Yeah, what do you think of some of those play calls? Because you know me, I mean, chuck it up to Josh Gordon, I love that, but it started to get to you on Sunday because it was not very successful. Some of those third down plays, chucking it up to Josh Gordon. Now, I mean, the first one, it's 44 yards, but that was third down. You know, sometimes it's third and short, and they still feel like, because I don't know how high percentage that is. You know, especially when you have James White and Julian Edelman, but relying on Gordon. Gordon, now this is a pretty good job. This is at the end of Tom's article. He says, to wrap it up, here's a quick catalog of the Patriots' third down dropbacks from start to finish. So the first one was the 44 yards to Gordon. Then there was the Gordon drop. Then he got sacked. Then there was the sneak for no yards. Terrible sneak, ooh, by the way. That was gross. Then there was a sack, which was wiped out by a penalty. Then there was incomplete pass, 11 yards to Edelman, sacked again, 23 to Gordon, a Hollister drop, and then an incomplete pass. So you drop back 13 times, really 12. Let's take the sneak out of there. 12 times, and what'd you have? Two drops in there, you know, and then some good defense. So it wasn't all on Brady, but usually he kind of makes up for it, right? Like, you don't have to have perfect protection, or, you know, everything doesn't have to be perfect, and Brady's still able to, you know, move the ball down the field, and that just did not happen on Sunday.
It's sort of something we've been putting aside as much as we could. What's it going to be like? What's going to happen when? What's going to happen if? I think that you are legitimately at the point where you have to begin to think of the end of the Brady era. I don't mean necessarily this year. I'm saying it's now within sight. It's not 4 years down the road.
No.
You know, and you now are at the point where, okay, what was the legitimate backup plan here is now in San Francisco with a bad knee. You have no legitimate backup plan at the moment, unless you think Danny Etling is it,
nobody. Nobody does. Nobody does.
So you're now at the point where you're thinking, okay, maybe this year, maybe next year if we're lucky.
Right.
And then what?
But not only that, but if you're talking about this year even, and you know, obviously not a lot of roster changes you can make this year, but the defense needs to be a lot better. And just like next year, the defense is going to have to be really good. The defense is going to have to be maybe not the best in the league. That's asking for a lot. But you're going to have to be able to win some games defensively because you can't rely on one of the top two or three scoring offenses anymore. And, you know, that's part of it on Brady. Brady could make up for bad defenses before. Not the worst defense in the league, but it could make up for an average or adequate defense. Whereas now it doesn't appear to be that way. Like, you're going to finally have to get more contributions from other guys. Because if you think Brady has really carried the team along for the last 5 years.
And a lot of people do.
He probably has. You know, again, 14 had a really good defense, but you know, you put that combination together and you win a Super Bowl. But if he's going to drop off a little bit, well, now everything else is going to have to be, you know, tightened up.
And what if he's dropped off a lot?
You think he has?
I think it's been more than I expected.
Yeah.
And I'll also say this, and it he may not like to hear it, but I think the offseason had an effect.
I think it had to.
I think it's hard to look at, you know, he's always been there, done every workout, you know, been for every done everything he could do with the team in the offseason, and you've seen the results. For the first time in his career, he said, no, you know what? I'm going to take the time with my family. And I don't blame him. He didn't have to be there. The stuff that was mandatory, he attended. The things that were optional, he skipped. And his play has suffered pretty dramatically.
Yeah, I think it's fair to point at that just because he had been there all the time. And he'd been that locked in, that committed, maxing out the time he could spend with his teammates. And now you take that away, and maybe you're not going to be quite as ready to go in the next year. Again, he is defying what we've seen in the NFL for years. I mean, 41-year-old quarterbacks are not in the league, and they're certainly not starting, right? Like, this is
not MVPs, which he was at 40.
It's a very small group of guys that were even in this situation. And then how many of them had good seasons? Like, it's an even smaller list. So that is a little bit different. But if you start approaching the season differently, then I don't know how you can then expect the same results that you've had before. So I think.
And what's your expectations for this next offseason? What do you think he's going to do?
He is going to be back to doing what he was doing before.
I don't think so.
Then he should retire.
I think he's made the commitment, and he made it sound like, you know, it's time to, you know, be there for my family, be there for my kids.
And I agree that he said that, but let's play that out. Let's say the next six games go similar. They finish 11-5 or whatever it is. Maybe they win a game and then lose a game in the playoffs. He ends the season smack in the middle, stats wise, right? Like, you know, some of the people can, you know, that watch all the film might say, yeah, you actually performed better than that. But let's just say QB rating end of the year is 16. You think he comes back next year? And not only does he come back next year, he decides, you know what? Last offseason, that worked out well enough. I'm just going to do the same thing.
I think it'd be more likely that he wouldn't come back than that he'd come back under the same conditions as last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think
I think it would be more likely he'd say, listen,
yeah,
that's not what I want to be in my career.
Yes,
I don't want to be,
I think he'd say, see you later. I think it would be retire, but if it's not retire, I think it might be a recommitment. I think it might be. Now, unless, you know, if you asked him and he answered honestly, like, did that have any factor in how you're playing right now? Maybe he says no. Maybe he believes that it's not, and he's got to be better week to week in season, and it's got nothing to do with, you know, those 3 days. But it's not just the 3 days or whatever it was that he missed. I think it's just the whole idea of preparing differently. Like, it was not what he's accustomed to doing. But, yeah, I mean, we could be – I mean, not to go, you know, the sky is falling here.
And it's close.
But you could.
It feels that way.
But realistically, could Brady, Gronk, and Edelman all be done at the end of the year?
Yes.
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
but it's a reality. Like, if you had to bet, if you had, I give you $100 and you had to bet it, and you had to say all three will be back or all three will be retired, wouldn't all three be retired probably be the safer money?
Probably, yeah, your money would be safer with that bet.
Like, I wouldn't want to bet on either one. Like, there's too many variables, and it'd be really it's impossible to predict that. But if you had to side with one or the other, I think it would be that.
617-779-7937. John is in East Longmeadow. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good.
So 3 or 4 weeks ago, didn't Brady just say he was going to play until he was 44 or 45?
Yes, yep. He did.
Right? So why? I mean, I said this to your producer. I mean, the sky is not falling here. I mean, but you guys make it seem that way after one bad loss to a pretty good team who has a good front seven, and they put pressure on Brady. I mean, how many teams in the league can do that?
But don't you think it's odd that, you know, he has one touchdown pass in the last 3 weeks, and if you compare him to the other quarterbacks in the league in a year where it seems to be so easy to score points?
Keith, how many games of those did they win?
They went 2-1, and it was against Buffalo and Green Bay, who's really not that good.
Oh, wait a minute. You guys, I mean, everybody.
Nope, I didn't. Don't you dare. No. Don't you dare say you guys.
We said there was a great quarterback.
I said Aaron Rodgers is awesome. I said the Packers are not. I said they're not a playoff team. They just went 2-1, John, and you can get excited about that. But all three teams that they faced may all miss the playoffs.
Okay, what happened 5 weeks ago when they beat Kansas City?
That was a great game. They beat Kansas City. They outscored Kansas City.
Don't you think that Brady has a better chance, or at least as good a chance, I mean, given his history, doesn't he have at least as good a chance of, you know, producing the Kansas City results as the Tennessee results?
I don't know. We've also seen him against Detroit. I mean, my question is, if you take the season
that game, he had no weapons that game. They were never going to win that game.
If they were never going to beat Detroit, the Lions are horrible. The Lions suck. They're one of the worst teams in the league.
What was the starting backfield? What was the starting wide receivers there?
Gronk played in that game. Sony Michel played in that game. I don't remember the whole thing.
Did he? Yeah. Well,
what do you mean?
I mean, my point is,
yeah, we can both of us can sort of cherry pick a game or two that sort of fits my side. But I'm just saying, take the 10 games as a whole. How do you feel like he's played?
I feel like he's missed some throws that he's probably made in the past. But I mean, you guys, I'm saying abroad, you guys. I mean, you guys killed him for not going to OTAs. Is that really the reason he's missing these throws? Probably not. It's probably more pressure that he's getting. You know, certainly Tennessee brought a lot of pressure against these guys against the Patriots.
Well, so, I got to say, though,
we've seen that before. That's his kryptonite. Pressure up the middle.
Yeah, see, in the past, he's actually performed really well when teams blitz.
No, but pressure up the middle, though. I know
this year
saying,
against
yeah.
the blitz, he's dead last.
The Giants Super Bowl in 2007.
I understand. Yeah, I know. They gave everybody the blueprint, except the blueprint didn't work for everybody.
Right.
Because not everybody can do it.
Exactly.
So Tennessee did it. You know, I mean, the sky is not falling after one game. If he goes 3-3 over the next six, let's reassess then.
But I also think to the bigger point too, John, thanks for the call, would be if Brady has said in the past he wants to play his 45. Okay, so we take him at his word for that. He has also
I think he
means it. And he said that a couple years ago, and that's fine. Like, it's good to have goals. We should all have goals. But he also said he doesn't want to play. Now, this is paraphrasing, but he doesn't want to play if he's not at the top of his game.
Exactly. Like, he doesn't want to just be a guy out there.
Right now,
he's just a guy.
It seems like he's just a guy right now.
The sky is falling.
It might be.
I mean, it could be a little bit. It's cloudy, partly cloudy today. I don't know if you heard the weather reports and the trending. It's partly cloudy.
The award-winning trending.
Yeah. Thank you, Dale.
It's no problem. Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if you remember in the offseason, I certainly said that the guys on the other show, you know, the following show, that Belichick was looking, the whole reason he went and got Sony Michel and used the first round pick on an offensive lineman, and how he was swapping out all these smaller wide receivers for bigger ones, was to run more. He had an older quarterback, and the number one aid for a number quarterback is a good running game. So all you had to think is John Elway when in the twilight of his career, you know, having Terrell Davis made all the difference in the world, and now they start winning Super Bowls because it takes pressure off of Elway. He doesn't have to do it all himself. And I think that they kind of went into this season looking at it that way, and you can certainly look at the games when Sony was healthy and the offense, when the running game was working, the offense looked phenomenal, right? When Sony got hurt and we don't have, you know, the running game going, now the offense looks very vulnerable. And I think going forward that, you know, not just for this season, you know, getting healthy, but next season, building that running game is going to be huge. And, you know, just another thing, I think Tom just needs to give Josh Gordon a little bit more of a chance to make some plays. You know, he might not always get like this.
He did throw him 12 times. I mean, he's gotten a lot of targets.
Wait a second. Rich, threw the ball to him 12 times.
Yes.
Some of those passes were nothing that Josh Gordon could ever make anything out of. Even in that,
no, I know, but you can't say he's not giving him a chance. Now should the ball be put?
Giving him a chance.
What do you mean?
If you're there, right, Rich? If you're there,
I'm saying he's
5 yards away from you. How is I giving you a chance?
But I'm saying he looked his way. Maybe that's all he can do.
Maybe he's not as accurate as he's been in the past.
Exactly.
I that's part of it, and I think also, you know, I think Tom is a little like eternal. I think he's like so plugged into not throwing an interception. Sometimes he has to realize, wait a second, this guy is the sort of guy that can go and knock down the ball that he can't make the completion on, or he can just go and beat the guy for the ball. I got to give him more of a chance to beat the defender.
See, I got to be honest. I see the opposite. I see him throwing into double and triple coverage more than I've ever seen. You know, a guy who's always been so safe with the ball, as you said, you know, wanted to avoid the interception, don't turn the ball over. And I'm seeing him throw prayers into double and triple coverage, hoping somebody comes down with it at times.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that too. And I really hope that they aren't trying to turn into a running team. Like, that's not going to work in the NFL either.
Not this day
and age.
There
are very few teams that can do it. I mean, maybe I don't know, the Seahawks, I guess, when they had
Marshawn Giants
Lynch,
have as good a running back as there is. How, no. You know, how's it
but
going for
even
them?
Even, like, look at the Rams. So Todd Gurley might be the best running back in the NFL, but how often do they throw to him, and how often does Jared Goff drop back and pass? Like, you're not – see, the Terrell Davis, John Elway analogy, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while.
Like, the that's not how the – like, you need to still be a pass-first team, and if you can't, then you're probably not going to win.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter, at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom Brady has one touchdown in the last three games. Colin, at no point this year would you believe that possible. And I'm talking about go read the tweets from the beat writers, not the, a hack at Fox Sports 1 watching on the weekend.
Couple of dopes like
us. Yeah, right? I'm talking about the guys who are there week in and week out. Read their tweets. They say Tom Brady's throwing knuckleballs downfield, that the ball's not getting there. These are the guys who are there every day. I respect those beat guys because they see it. And he's not the same guy. Go look at the numbers between Tom Brady and Brett Favre, both at age 40. At age 40, Brett Favre had a better year than Tom Brady had last year at age 40 when he won the MVP by default. And then you go look at Brett Favre falling off the cliff at age 41 and where Tom Brady is now.
Of course, Rob Parker's been desperately praying for the demise of Tom Brady for a long time now. Yeah. So he's feeling it right now.
Good for him.
And he was referring, by the way, in large part, to the piece that was written by Tommy Curran, which we will refer to later on. And I don't think Tom ever actually used the word knuckleball, tell you the truth. Didn't see it in there anywhere. But
Tom
said,
he had the Ellsbury line.
Yes.
Now, glass half full, you want me to spin it half full? Dale, I could probably do that.
Always, you're the guy for that.
I could play that role. Last year, Tom Brady was the MVP of the league.
Yes, he was.
Eight times. So half of the games that he played in, he had a quarterback rating under 100. That happened eight times. So half the time. This year, his quarterback rating has been under 100 five times with six to play.
Pulling off the cliff.
But it could still end up being about the same. Now,
the other thing is, though, is that the average quarterback rating is up dramatically across the league
higher
this year.
And the other thing is the times that he has gotten over 100 quarterback rating per game this year, it's more just barely over, whereas a year ago, it was silly. Like, he had a game where it was 146, he had a game where it was 139, 132. So we haven't seen those games pop off yet. Like, the five touchdown, no interception game, or, you know, 440 yards passing, we haven't really seen that. But it's not like he played the perfect season. Like, I think people also get caught up in that sometimes. It's so easy to say, hey, he was the MVP of the league last year. Yeah, no, he was, but that didn't mean he played 16 perfect games, right? Like, there were some times last year. You remember the stretch he had, and it was actually the second half of last season, where he threw six picks in, I think, five games. Like, and that for him is pretty rare.
Right.
So he had some not great games, whether it was Buffalo or the Miami game that they lost. You know, that was a Monday night game late in the year. I think it was week 15 or 14, I think. He did not play particularly well in that game. His completion percentage was 55. You know, he threw two picks and only one touchdown. And that was still in an MVP year in which they went to the Super Bowl. So the expectations, of course, for him are always high, but it doesn't mean he's not going to have a game or two like he did this past Sunday against the Titans in any season.
John's in Northampton. Hey, John, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi.
So I wanted to bring up with you guys, I heard you guys talking about the decline and all that, and just a couple of points that stuck out at me is he's played in two Super Bowls in a row, right?
His season
has been significantly longer than 90% of the league. So there might be a reason why he didn't go to the OTAs this year. And also his cast this year, I don't think he's had his whole cast a single game. Like, he hasn't had Julian or Gronk. He's got new receivers in Gordon. I mean, he's just not dealing with, you know, a full cast like he has in the past, and that has to be affecting his stats. And I just wanted to kick that out there and let you guys run with it.
No, sure. It's fair, I mean, but he's had to operate without significant cast members in the past.
And worse.
Julian Edelman missed a whole season last year. Gronk has missed significant time in the past.
Right.
Julian was suspended this year, you know, for the first four games. But, look, it would be nice if he had everybody available. I agree with that. I'm not sure that that would make his passes more accurate on some of the things that I've seen him miss.
I mean, you think about it, you know, he missed Julian Edelman for an entire season and won the MVP. He missed Gronk for most of a season, showed up, you know, week five because of the suspension and was nearly the MVP. If he played a couple more games, he would have been the MVP. So we've seen him play with worse, you know, and I think what's staggering, though, is how the rest of the league, like, again, if you took a 94.7 quarterback rating, more often than not, you say, all right, that's not the problem. They're not the problem. But it has become so easy to score in the league that when you take this team with this guy and you score 10 points against anybody, let alone doing it twice, you sort of say, all right, well, what's up with that?
Dave's in Warwick. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. I just wanted to touch on a couple of the guys that have been calling, kind of defending Brady a little, because he has no protection. You can say, you know, even in the last game, he didn't have Gronk, which is a big weapon. And even if he's not playing 100%, he's still the big threat. Nothing's opening up for him, and he's got no time to even think about what to do back there. He has no protection.
I don't know if I agree with you, Dave.
When he had no weapons a couple years ago, he still had a front line that was protecting him.
I don't think the offensive line is the issue here.
I don't think it's a huge problem.
No. I think him missing that beginning part of the practices may have affected him a little, but I honestly just don't think one game constitutes saying he's all done.
And we're not saying.
I don't think he's done. I don't think that he's.
How do you think he's performed over the 10 games so far, Dave?
I think his throwing is a little off, but I really think that people are starting to figure out when you freaking blitz Brady. And you do it right, he's not...
All of a sudden, that's really changed. And I think that's worth mentioning in the conversation. You know, whereas before, teams, they were dumb to blitz him. And if you did, he'd pick you apart.
He almost wanted you to blitz
him. And so a lot of times, teams just wouldn't. And now, something has changed. And it feels like, all right, maybe it's something to do with reaction time or just, you know, feeling the pressure a little bit differently than he has before. Again, I don't want to make it sound like he's having a terrible season, but it's just...
But by his standards, it is a subpar season.
Well, it's an insane bar that he has set for himself. And even last year, even if you're comparing him to last year, where he was just... He was off the charts. Now, he has 7 picks in 10 games. He has 7 picks in 10 games. A couple of them really weren't his fault, but whatever. That happens with every player. That happens every single year. Yeah, the numbers, again, in a vacuum are pretty good, but compared to him and compared to quarterbacks in 2018, they're not very impressive at all.
And to the caller's point about blitzes, and I think it's fair to say this, James White has normally been great at blitz pickup and protection. He's been not so great here.
Yeah, he's missing guys. I would like to see him out there for more pass. Now, like, I don't love... Same thing, like, so White and Gronk are both pretty good at blocking, right? And, you know, Gronk's great at it, but those are also two of the three best targets. Like, I want those guys out there more often than, you know, if it's 3rd and 3, I don't want James White blocking as much. I'd, like, get him out there, and he's going to pick up a first down more often than not.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? Rich, actually, that point you just made, I really want to agree with you on that. You got to get James White out there on those 3rd and short plays. I mean,
yeah.
He can get that ball right out there in the flat and or right on the swing pattern, and he'll pick up 3 or 4 yards just about every time.
Right.
I think the biggest issue this year, besides the fact that Brady doesn't look as sharp as he usually does, the receivers just aren't – they're not getting open. They're not getting open. They're not getting out of their breaks in time. They're not using the route tree to their advantage and getting position on the field.
Well, Mike, let me flip this around on you, just because something that we've seen and a lot of people have been doing screenshots and everything of it is it feels like the guys he is throwing to, they're not getting open like they should, but there does seem like Chris Hogan in particular is open often and he's not looking his way.
Yeah, he must have done something.
He must have. I don't know what it is. It seems like maybe it was a missed pass or maybe it was a bad couple of weeks of practice or something, but he's not looking. Hogan's playing. Hogan's playing time is he's playing a ton of snaps, but he doesn't look at him. He had one target on Sunday, and it was the play at the end of the first half where he was just trying to complete something quick so he could kick a field goal. That was the only
and he
time
missed
he
him by a ton.
Oh, nowhere near. He was nowhere near him. But that's the one guy, and there's also been times where Edelman, some of the guys short on some of those deep passes to Gordon are wide open. And, you know, Hogan a couple years ago got wide open all the time because nobody was paying attention to him. You know, the Steelers in a playoff game left him wide open, but Brady hit him. Every time he was wide open, it felt like Brady knew where he was, and they would pick up these big chunks of yards.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, you doing? A couple things. First off, when the Red Sox were in the playoffs, people were making a big deal saying that, oh, they only beat bad teams. They didn't beat any good teams. The Patriots are the opposite. They're beating the good teams. And then, Keith, you were saying that Green Bay's record wasn't that good. They crushed the Titans. They crushed the Steelers. They lost to the Chiefs, the Rams, which they had a chance of winning, and the Patriots, except for that bad loss to Detroit, like the Patriots did. So Green Bay is pretty good.
I don't think they are. They're 4-4-1. I'm not all that impressed by Green Bay.
Like I said, they lost to the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Patriots. And then
they lost to the Lions. They barely beat the Niners. Like, that's fine.
Okay, whatever. And then this idiot saying that Brady won MVP by default. If the top 10 quarterbacks all went down, that's winning by default. You know, so he was number two. So the year that you said earlier, when he
that was Rob Parker. Yeah. That was dumb. That's a dumb thing. Yeah.
And when you said earlier, when he missed the first four games, he should have won the MVP that year.
He did. He had an unbelievable year. That was a great 12-game stretch that he put together.
And it was probably some folks who voted had a hard time voting for a guy who was suspended for PED use, and some folks had a hard time voting for a guy who missed
a
quarter of the season.
It wasn't PED use.
I was suspended for cheating.
For ball manipulation?
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was dumb.
We all agree with that. But would your explanation be, I can't vote for a guy who missed a third of the season, a fourth of the season?
I think it's more that than why he missed it. I think it's just that he was out for that long. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Matt Ryan set a single season record for quarterback rating? Or he had something. He had a good year. I mean, so you could at least
justify your vote.
Yeah, I mean, but a third of the or a quarter of the year is pretty significant.
That's
a big chunk.
Bill's in Holyoke. Okay, Bill. Oh, hold on, Bill. There we go. How you doing?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. You know, I've been watching football since I was 7 years old, and I can say with confidence I know very little about it, so I'm going to go with the old eyeball test.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I've seen Brady throw the ball short, too high, so on and so forth, and I've seen enough on replay wobbly throws. Now, I'm not a Patriots fan, but if this man did not miss OTAs and this stuff was going on, collective Patriots fans would be lighting their hair on fire right now. I mean, he's off. He's off with the physical throw and the timing and all that other stuff. And there's so many small little things that make you go, is him 41 years old the real issue at this point? And why wouldn't it be? I mean, the guy's had a hell of a run, and he's still way above average on quarterback skill. Take what you get. But you're seeing little chinks in the armor, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And this was... this was probably as bad. I mean, the Detroit game was bad too. Those were the two that really stick out to you where they weren't great. But they put together a good run and they scored a bunch of points. You know, Miami, Indy, Kansas City, Chicago, they scored 38 or more points in all four of those games. But it just, yeah, it's not as sharp as it.
Why
as
do
it's
some
been
people
before.
Fight when you say that? Like I've been saying all season long, he doesn't look the same to me. I'm seeing him miss passes. He doesn't miss. I'm seeing him miss receivers. He doesn't miss. Sunday it was even worse. So, you know, but just taking it as a whole, why do people get upset with you when you say he's not the same guy?
Well, there's blind defenders for it, and you can understand because of how successful he has been. It's similar to Belichick. If you're like, oh man, I really don't like that trade. Like, oh, what do you know more than him? Like, it's similar to that. Just the react, like, rather than really looking at it, they're just like, this guy can do no wrong. I think that those are the
he's
people
done little
that
wrong,
right? He has.
During the course of his career.
He's been unbelievable. But it's just maybe denial. Is that a part of it, too? Like, you just don't want to believe that this guy is going to be on the field and not be the best quarterback?